of home has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Brother Ralph, are you there?
I am. Good evening, Brother Richard.
And I guess Pastor Cox is with us as well. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
I am here, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma.
Amen. Amen. And blessings from Laramie. And guys, I know we've got a couple callers scheduled, so I'll sure let you know. And I'll be listening in and looking forward to a good program.
All right.
Sounds great.
Good evening, Pastor. Good evening, everyone out there. Welcome to Hope is Alive, a testimony show about those who've been set free from that which tormented them by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. That's a website that's fully equipped with all kinds of tools ready for you to use in your arsenal to help you help overcome and set people free. Also, you can get the book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox, a fantastic manual with all the steps laid down to helping people get set free. You can get that by calling Scriptures for America at 307-742-7582. I believe we offer ask a $20 offering for that. Call Richard if you don't have that book, he'll get it out to you. And good evening, Pastor. I'm glad to be back.
Well, always good to have you back, brother, and back on the show again and praising the Lord and excited over what he's doing and setting his people free and healing them. It never ceases to amaze me.
Yes. And, Pastor, I have a scripture I'd like to read and a little example that the Lord put upon me today about forgiveness. Colossians 3:12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has complained against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And that is just a wonderful, wonderful scripture. It's one to remember. And that compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, those are all parts of the fruit of the Spirit. And I was listening to, it was 4 o'clock today, Central, listening to it. Richard, if you're able to find out what that message was at that time, I'd sure like to know what it is. I can recommend it to people. But it was an older message of Pastor Peter's, and I know it was old because he mentioned something about the upcoming marriage of his daughter. And I know John's been married for about 20 years now, so I know it was there. But it was almost in that message like he was teaching what we talk about every week here on Hope is Alive about forgiveness. And it's interesting, right as I'm listening to that, I think, oh, that's a great point. Yeah, that's awesome. I get put in a position where I have to practice forgiveness.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a curse upon this nation called road rage. There is no and, ifs, or buts about it. It's a spirit that affects people. You see it all the time. And I was pulled into a parking lot, and I came in on the wrong. I was in the wrong. I realized I was in the wrong as soon as I did it, but it's already committed. I needed to go. And I was like, okay, there's no one there. It'll be all right. Well, a cop comes and pulls a car, and it was a younger lady, and she had a few choice words for me out the window. It's cool enough that I could hear them. And I'll tell you, at one time, and the flesh started to want to come up, each to gal, something to the effect I was thinking, you know, I've been driving before you were born or something like that. And then here I am listening to that, and I said, well, praise the Lord. And I worked exactly with that. I had compassion upon her. I had patience, and I said those words, Lord, I forgive her and I bless her. And I'll tell you, there was a time in my life that I probably would have gave some sort of hand gesture, hollered something back at her, and let that bother me all day. And
well, that's the flesh, Ralph. That's
yes,
the
it
flesh.
Is.
The flesh would like to get even, get retaliation. Yeah. It's just that the word is very, very clear on this. So which are we going to follow, the flesh or the word?
Yes.
So you've learned to follow the word.
I did. I learned to follow the word. But also I've learned to take an exercise authority against those spirits that used to feed off what the flesh wanted. And that was sitting there, too, because before I went through deliverance and had a lot of these things, I had some anger issues, and I would blow up on stuff like that. And a perfect point brought up in Pastor Peter's sermon was the forgiveness that Stephen, right before he was stoned, and he said, aren't you glad that Stephen said, forgive them, Lord? Because who was in the audience right there holding the jackets as they were throwing stones? The apostle, soon to be apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
If Stephen had not done that, there is a possibility that Paul would have never been that chosen vessel, all because Stephen said, forgive him. And am I to the point in my life that if people are throwing stones at me, will I say, forgive him, Lord? I'll tell you right now, I'm not there. I want to be there one day, but I'm not there. But I also realize that if I get upset over someone honking and yelling at you, I'll never be there. And that was just an example the Lord gave to me today. I wanted to share it. And hopefully out there, people evaluate. And if you're having trouble with anger, especially road rage, hey, there's great news, isn't there, Pastor?
That's right. There's an answer. Come for deliverance. We deal with that constantly every week. Amazing how common the spirit of anger is, rage, wrath, you know, all that is very common. And it's right up there next to fear as being one of the more common spirits that torment Christians. But the good news being, again, if the person will reach out for freedom, there's answers for him, and it's taken us quite a few years to learn what those answers are, but we've got it down pretty good now. After 40 years in the ministry, 34 years, we have dealt with that enough. We're pretty good at helping people get free. We had 18 cases Monday night and had 17 ministers. We were one minister shy. One lady took two women there and ministered to them, but I had a good case. Fact is, I've had a case every day this week, and I was just thinking earlier, I've gotten the head demon up in each of those cases this week, even the one I did today. And I was thinking about it. The head demon in the one Monday was Steal Her Identity. That was its name, and it had demons underneath it, and it's under its authority. The one Tuesday was Judging. That was the head demon, and the one today was Destruction. And quite frankly, the Destroyer, or Destruction, is the most common head demon I run into. And I was able to interrogate it and got the lies it was telling him in his head, and it disclosed his God-given gifts, and then finally blew them all away. And, of course, they're always such happy campers. They always feel lighter. We hear that so much. And, of course, it's like a blanket of heaven as it comes off, you know, when these things are finally cast out. So I'm on a big high from these three, and I got one tomorrow. So this is a big, big exciting week for me.
Well, you're doing a good labor there, the good work of Jesus, and these are the deeds that Christians were to perform.
Yes, it's a high adventure, as I'm always saying. So, anyway, we're just keep at it, and we have new people coming on, going through the training constantly, and of course, people go through our training, they become team leaders, and then after some period of time, they often are out there ministering in their own churches, then they kind of set up an operation in their own church, and which is where it should be. And we shouldn't need a deliverance ministry, but the fact is there's still lots of churches that are not doing this works of Jesus. And so we're filling in the void in the meantime the best we can. Amen?
Amen. Stand in the gap the best we can. And it is sad that this part of the ministry is just forgotten. I think it was a lot of taken away by the deeds of the devil, but... Praise the Lord. We're doing what we can right here to get that message out that you can do the same things that was doing in the book of Acts. And I've talked a bit about the book of Acts over the past couple weeks. I've been studying it. I'm just going to finish the last few chapters of it tonight. And those things weren't for them 2,000 years ago. And today, things are different. Things aren't different. The same spirits that stirred up the people then are still here today stirring up, and probably even more so today with all the conduits that are out there and availability of the conduits through media, and especially the visual conduits. We're constantly been bombarded with anything to stimulate the mind immorally through sexual immorality. And that's a huge conduit. And then the fact that we're able to speak with people instantly and not get a chance to sit back and think about it and calm down, how quick people can get angry. If you want to see how quick people can get angry and not practice patience and forgiveness, just read any social media board and watch people.
Ralph, you were talking about being the same as it was many years ago. I have a book on... Mm-hmm. Some of John Wesley's sermons,
yes.
Who started the Methodist Church and other churches, in fact, and he was doing all these things that we're talking about, and there's one chapter about the casting out of evil spirits, and he even commented what he had seen evil spirits say out of people's mouths, and it's the same thing we hear him say today. So.
Yes.
I've kind of concluded it may be some of the same evil spirits that we're casting out that John Wesley did.
Yes, yes. And that's a fantastic book. If you haven't read it, I highly suggest it. I can't remember exactly the name of it. I have it somewhere. And if you can remember the name of that pastor, say it out loud. If I can't remember the name of that book.
I don't write off. I've got it in my bookshelf, though.
Yes, I have it, too. Yeah. So. I don't have it handy, but that's okay. At some point, we'll remember to get it out there. But, Pastor, we have Emma. Emma, thank you for calling and joining us this evening.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Hi, Emma. And, Emma, you might back away from the phone a little bit. It's distorting. It says that quite a bit. If you talk too close or too loud, hey, I'm excited you called in and to give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and then any experiences you'd like to share.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, that's so much better.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, well, I'll just start in the beginning and just wanted to tell you that when I was little, I was raised Catholic. And we went to church only a couple times a year, you know, usually Christmas, Easter, that sort of thing. And when I was 12 years old was really the first time that God did this miracle for me. And I did pray to God, and I said, if you do this one thing, I'll serve you the rest of my life, never realizing what that actually meant. And as I went through my life growing up as a teenager, I finally, at 14, my sister led me to the Lord and was raised in a small little town called Beeville, Texas. And I was baptized when I was 14. And I really didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit up until about 4 years ago. The church that I attended really didn't talk a lot about that. I didn't know enough about it. So I really didn't know exactly what that really meant. And although, like, in my life, God was always part of my life, but it was very conditional. I think a lot of us, as we go through life, we get so busy raising children, marriage, all kinds of things, jobs, and we kind of put God on the side. And we only do church when it's convenient, or we only call on him when we're really desperately in need of him. And that's kind of the person that I was. I mean, I loved the Lord, but it was definitely conditional because it was on my terms. And as I started walking in my life with the Lord back in 2012, I was in a relationship, and I heard very clearly the Lord spoke to me, and he said, choose. And in that moment, I knew. I was like, okay, God's done. He is done being patient, waiting on me to completely surrender to him. And so I knew that either I was going to choose to stay in this relationship, or I was going to completely surrender my life to him. And so I decided at that point that I was ready, because I had gone through two divorces and, you know, just, you know, I have three beautiful children, four grandkids, and it was just, you know, just try to kind of go through life trying to work everything out. But if it doesn't have God in it, there's all kinds of things that can happen. And so there's always going to be those struggles. And so back in 2012, when I actually decided, yes, I'm ready, and I finally decided to completely give my life to the Lord, no more compromising. I said, Lord, you tell me, teach me, and show me exactly how to do this, because I don't know how. I don't know how to be all in. And ever since then, it's just been an amazing walk with the Lord. Everything from, you know, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's just taught me, like a child, you know, how to be truly patient and have unconditional love for others, and not to look at the circumstance, but to always go to him for direction. And I've just seen him do some amazing things in my life. And it's just been a blessing. So I'm always asking him to use me and, like, tell me what you want me to do next. And I was born and raised in Texas, but when I was 19, I moved to Michigan, and I was there for 35 years. And so in 2013, I had asked the Lord, what do you want me to do next? Thinking that he was going to put me in a ministry in Michigan. And that's not what I heard. He said, I want you to move to the Dallas area in Texas. And that was really the last place I thought I would ever hear him say that, because I don't like the heat. I don't like the bugs. So that was a really big shock to my body. I was like, okay, let's... So it took me about a year to really prepare to move. And it took a lot of the Lord being very patient with me because I kept asking for confirmation again and again and again. And I finally, I was like, okay, Lord, I give up. I'm going. And so I left my family behind. Well, my son lives in Portland, but my two daughters live in Michigan. And I had all my friends. I had a sister there. So God really separated me from everything and everyone that, I had known for the last 35 years. And so I just took off. I just packed up my, I got a U-Haul truck, and I got a flatbed for my vehicle, and, just got on the road all by myself. And I didn't even know where I was going until 8 days before, finally, the Lord showed me that he wanted me to go to Addison first. So I moved to Addison, and I was there for only a few months. And he's just kind of been telling me where to go, and, you know, he's led me to the churches that I've attended. And then a couple of years ago, I met this really nice lady. I went to Oklahoma City to listen to Jesse Duplantis at a Baptist church. And there I met Jacqueline and her daughter. Jacqueline is a volunteer for the Deliverance Ministry. And we stayed in touch, and then she came to visit me, and she gave me the book that Everett wrote. And I didn't read it because the Lord didn't put it on my heart to do it, to actually read the book yet. And a year went by, and then he finally, once I moved further north, the Lord finally said, I want you to start reading the book. And I went through Deliverance just recently, a few weeks ago. And it was amazing because I've kind of known for the last couple of years that the Lord wanted me to get into Deliverance, but I didn't know to what capacity. I wasn't even sure what Deliverance was, even though I had listened to enough things on YouTube that where you can pray and ask for deliverance. But I didn't know the extent of it, and it goes so much deeper than just saying a prayer and thinking, okay, I'm good to go. And so for the last few years, I've been just really following the Lord. Whatever he wants me to do, I do. If he tells me to go talk to someone, or he puts me in a situation where I have the opportunity to share the gospel, I do. Every opportunity that he gives me, I want to be available, and I always tell him that. What do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to talk to? Or and just really listening to him, you know, constantly, what he wants me to be. He always wants me to obviously share the gospel, because that's what Jesus said, that we are to go and make disciples. And so he kind of led me to the Deliverance Ministry, and I know right now he's pressing upon me that he really wants me to get involved, and I'm still kind of waiting to see how he's going to direct my steps in that. When I first got to Texas, which was, now it's been 2.5 years ago, I really thought that because he sent me here, I was going to jump into some ministry, and it didn't happen like that at all. He just had me sit, and I was confused because I thought, okay, you sent me here, now what? But then the training started. God needed to show me different things, and he needed to train me and give me more assignments and just kind of grow me in what I was going to be doing. And so that was kind of not exactly what I was thinking. But, you know, in the Bible, I think it's in Isaiah 55, it says that, you know, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. And so that's a verse that I constantly have to remind myself when I get into a situation where I want to go in one direction, and the Lord is saying, no, wait. So I have found that in that, he opens up doors, but I have to not go before him. And when I do, which was a few years ago, I would always get in front of him, and it never worked out the way I wanted it to work out. And that was because I wasn't waiting on him. And so the thing that I've learned is, no matter what's going on in my life, that I am to sit and wait for directions from him, because he will tell me. He always shows up. He always works it out for me. And so I've learned to be much more patient. I've learned not to be judgmental. I've learned not to give my opinion. And in all of that, I get more peace in my life, and I get peace with people that I talk with, you know, family and friends and just people I attend church with. And it's such a beautiful plan, the way God has it. It's not how we see it now, but it's really, really walking and trusting in Him that everything that that He does, He really does for our own good. And He prepares us because the Bible says that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. And so the people that the Lord, I mean, God's always calling out to us, but whoever decides to take that path, it is a complete surrender. It's no longer, you know, we really become servants of the Lord. And because of that, that's where the peace comes. And I think people are always pursuing peace or pursuing, you know, promotions or whatever it is that they desire, but they forget to put God first, because if they put God first, all that would come about. But again, I do find, yeah, that seems to be kind of a common occurrence. The other thing that the Lord, I'm sorry, go ahead, did you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, maybe He'll have you come to Oklahoma City and you can go through our training, be a team leader, and then once you've got that, work your way through that, then He would send you maybe somewhere else. But we certainly equip people all the time here, and many of them then go out elsewhere, doing deliverance and physical healing.
Absolutely. And that is my plan. I do want to go through the training because I invited a couple of my friends with me to go, because I went 2 days or 2 Mondays in a row. And the one lady said that it was much more detailed. The deliverance ministry that you have was very detailed. It covers everything. As I said before, when I went through it, I actually uncovered things that I had in me that I was not even aware of, which really, really surprised me, because I didn't realize that you could do something very insignificant that has to do with any kind of witchcraft or fortune tellers or tarot cards, not thinking anything of that. Most people sometimes do it for entertainment, but that alone will open up doors that allows, you know, demons to torment you. And
yes.
I just was not aware of that. I just, I knew in the Bible that you shouldn't, but I always thought, well, Lord, I'm not, you know, this is really entertainment. I don't really buy into it. And again, I was definitely compromising most of my life, just kind of picking and choosing how I wanted to live. And until I really surrendered to the Lord, was He able to use me. And, you know, you talk to a lot of people in different churches, and they might be unhappy because things are not moving fast enough, or something's happening in their life. They don't know why it's happening. And really, the Lord wants them to inquire, to speak to Him, you know, not really to complain about it or, you know, but to really focus on Him, because He will either show them or direct them or give them a dream. But so many people are not even aware of what deliverance is. I've talked to several people that they're like, okay, what's that? They have no idea. And a lot of churches don't teach it. So if it's not being taught at the church and people are just attending once a week for that 1 hour, they're not going to, you know, learn about it, and unless there's, you know, something going on that they actually have to go and seek for another avenue if something is happening in their lives that they have no idea why it's happening.
Yes.
I think, as you said before, you get calls all the time of people, you know, when they're at their wit's end and they finally say, okay, we have to find a different avenue. This is not working. Yes, I'm very clear that the Lord is showing me, and He said, I need to train you first, and that is, He's putting the right people in my life so I can really start understanding the deeper things of God. And he also said that at some point in my life, I will start a boarding school for orphans. And I remember one day I said to the Lord, I said, well, Father, what am I going to call this place? And he said, Eden, right away. So I looked up the word, and it means the light. And so it's just a blessing to know that God, you know, he speaks to me. And a lot of people don't even understand what that means either. They can look at you like you're a little crazy, and they just kind of like smile and nod their head. And you can tell they're thinking other things, yeah. But that's okay. Because I know it's how right. God works in my life. And I feel very grounded in my foundation because I know that he has done so many miracles that no other time in my life has God ever touched me the way he has in the last few years. And it is only because I surrendered and I said, I'm available. I want to do what you want me to do. And I truly have a heart for people. I mean, there's, you know, the Bible makes it clear, you know, how it all plays out. And I don't ever want to look back and say that I missed an opportunity to share Jesus with someone. So I just look to God all the time and ask him, you know, how can I help someone? You know, how can I just be a blessing for another person that, you know, needs an encouraging word?
How many opportunities we've had that we should have tried to witness to them and we didn't. That's on everybody's back, you know.
That's true.
When you were ministered to, Emma, did you feel those spirits come out, or how did you know they were there?
I can barely hear you. What's that?
I'd say when you were ministered to, did you feel them come out, or how did you know the spirits were there?
Oh, I did. Yes. The second week that I was there, there was a manifestation because when I was a teenager, I had a book on witchcraft, and that was back when I was 14 or 15 years old, and I never touched another book again that had anything to do with witchcraft that I was aware of. And, yes, it did manifest, and I was completely cold at one point, I had, one of the times that we were praying, my palms got really hard, and I didn't even understand what that was, but I told the gentleman that was ministering to me, I said, I don't know what's happening, but my palms are getting very hard. I felt like something wanted to come out of me, but I didn't know what it, again, I never had anything like that happen in my life, so it really threw me off. And he actually ended up closing the Bible on my hand. And the minute the Bible touched my hand, whatever was there was immediately gone. And at one point, because we prayed over three different things, but at one point, I was repeating a prayer that he was telling me to pray. And at some point, he said, Lord, please forgive me. And I was supposed to repeat that. I couldn't say it. I felt that something covered my mouth. I literally, my lips were not moving. My mouth wasn't moving. Nothing was coming out of my mouth. And in my head, I said, Lord, what is happening to me? Because I'd never had any kind of manifestation of anything. So that was very, very bizarre to me. But the minute that he said, Emma, you have to say, Lord, forgive me. And the second he said, Emma, I was released, and I could actually say it. So that was very bizarre. But there was like four or five things that happened in that time that we were praying. And again, this is stuff that I did for entertainment. I did it maybe a handful of times, and that was enough for the enemy to try to stop me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had an entry at that point. And, of course, mm-hmm. The way we close those doors is just simply by repenting and then commanding any related spirits, in that case witchcraft, to go. And that's, you went through that, so Well, gosh, I'll bet you felt better, didn't you, Emma, after that?
I did. I actually felt, yes, I felt better, and there has been a change. I even had a spirit of fear that was when I was in my mother's womb that I had. I was not even aware of that. But since I've been released of that, I do feel different. I feel that I'm more open to speaking about Jesus, and not in a radical way, but really being comfortable, being respectful of people, not trying to put it in their face, but just really sharing the gospel sincerely from my heart.
Hallelujah. And, of course, that's the mission of the spirits, is to block all that. Christians are targets, we finally realize. He's already got the ones that are not born again. So when you're born again, you become a target, and especially if you have God-given gifts and a destiny, the enemy seems to recognize that, so they often will put even assignments out coming out of Satan's war room to block the person's life. I run into that a lot, even this week. I was telling Ralph, my co-host on here, earlier, mm-hmm. I've had three cases this week, and I have a fourth one tomorrow, but I run into satanic assignments constantly right along with the spirits that have come through the door. So it's somewhat of a job to get it all done, but the amazing thing is typically we can do it in one session, and people get a Jesus overhaul. Praise God.
Praise God, so, that's so true.
It's so exciting.
Very
to see
true.
It
and the good thing is the satanic assignments are the easiest to cancel. So it's
yes.
easy for
oh, very
to
easy.
Address and they're addressed easy to address and cancel. And so that's the good news about those. You don't really have to get to too much of a root of a problem if it's an assignment. You can just come against an assignment, cancel it, tell it to go.
Yes.
That's very true.
Well,
and, just understanding that we have been given all power. And that was huge for me when I went to the deliverance ministry, really focusing on that and understanding who we are in Christ.
Yes. Yes, we keep pushing that scripture. In fact, a song will come on at the end of the program tonight. Of Luke 10:19, and so you can even sing it. Praise God. Well, in winding
That's
up
true.
Here, Emma, anything else to tell the listeners before we close out here with you?
I just wanted to say that it's so important as your ministry does talk about unforgiveness, that can be such a huge door. And people not understanding. I just spoke to a friend of mine recently, and he had talked about, I'm not going to forgive that person. And it's not like you
oh.
have to go and tell that person, I forgive you. But it is something you have to go to the Lord. You have to confess. And God knows
yes.
your heart condition. So sometimes people have a misconception of what that actually means. And I just think, people are struggling. They have strongholds, and they don't understand why. And the Lord so wants to deliver us from all of it.
Yes, so true. And well said. Ralph started the show tonight with a scripture on forgiving, and it's the biggest of the doors that we keep running into. Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight, Emma, and sharing. It's wonderful.
Yes,
you're welcome.
We
thank
appreciate
you for
it.
Inviting me.
All right. God bless.
Great. God bless
God
you.
God bless you, too. Bye.
Bye.
Pastor, we have Chris on the line. Chris, thank you for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling
hey,
in. And yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk a little bit. I was born again when I was 12 years old, a long time ago. And I had, my grandmother and my aunts always worked with me and kind of teaching me about the Bible and lessons, and my mother was really a pivotal in that area as well. And, you know, I was one of the kids that was, you know, drugged going to church. I was, you know, drugged every Sunday night, every Wednesday. And, you know, and that, you know, that didn't depart from me. But, you know, I, as I went to high school and my college years, of course, you know, and the statistics, you know, say this, that, you know, kids will drift away, and I was one of them, and just really drifted real far apart. And you know, then I got married, and me and my wife just really wanted to seek the Lord, and we tried having kids, and we couldn't. We had four miscarriages, and we it just really dropped us to our knees, and I remember that was when we started seeking the Lord together, and we just kind of recommitted our lives to Christ, and you know, then we were able to adopt a baby girl, and then we had two other biological children, and my three kids are amazing, and I'm so proud of them. But you know, life happens, and 20 years later, you know, I found myself in the middle of a divorce, and kind of went through some hard times, and just you know, I ran to the wrong things, like a lot of people do, you know, and I just kind of realized where I was, you know, and I was unhappy, you know, and I just kind of hit bottom, and I just found myself crying out to the Lord again, and just you know, just realizing that I had to start seeking Him again. And so I started seeking Him a couple of years ago, and, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, you know, and I think that's important for people to know, is that it, you know, when you begin your walk and you really dedicate yourself to the Lord, it's a little bit of a testing. It's a little bit of a trial, as Paul calls it, trials and tribulations. And you know, and I just started reading my Bible every day, and just, you know, I'd go through a tough time, and a scripture would come to mind, and it would help, you know, just kind of help give me some courage to get through that. But, you know, I started seeking out old friends who were prayer warriors and Christians, and long story short, I ended up hearing about Everett Cox and Deliverance Ministries, and had a friend of mine set up an appointment for me to meet with Everett, and you know, I didn't even really know that I was going, like I was signed up for a deliverance session, but, you know, I got there, and I was all for it. I was like, yeah, you know, and at first I was in there, I was like, you know, I wasn't for sure what the ministry was about. I hadn't heard anything about it really. But as I listened to Everett's testimony and I listened to how it started 34 years ago and how he had the pain of losing a child, and that, you know, through deliverance for himself, you know, just having that pain removed just by the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is coming in and removing that from him, you know, started this ministry that, you know, every single week we just see people flowing in and out of the ministry. And, you know, the ministry wouldn't exist if it wasn't successful. And it just goes to prove and give all glory to God that, you know, the supernatural works of Jesus are still occurring to this day. And even though we're in this space age and this age of technology, that, you know, people need to realize that the enemy is not of flesh and blood, and it's a principality, and that, you know, it the enemy uses war strategy. And so the strategy of the enemy is to wear you out through frustration and disappointment and anger and rage and bitterness and shame and guilt and, you know, all these things that weigh us down as human beings if you come into agreement. You know, and that's the key, is don't come into agreement with the enemy, but, you know, trust in the scripture and trust that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he went to the cross to die for all of your sins. and that they were all paid for 2,000 years ago. And if you're a born-again believer, you were co-crucified with him, Galatians 2.20 says. You know, and so it's really about knowing your identity, because when you realize that you're a son, that you're a child of God, and that you were perfectly made in his image, and that he had a plan for you before time began, and that he's going to see this plan work out throughout your life, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, people can come, like I did. I went through deliverance, and I had some issues in my life. I had some soul ties, ungodly soul ties that I had to deal with, with my ex-wife, with people that had hurt me growing up and as a child, and, you know, having issues of feeling that I wasn't good enough, having, and just a spirit of rejection on me, and a fear, you know, and a spirit of abandonment on me. And so it wasn't until I was delivered from all those, and it was such a beautiful process, such a loving process, because they do inner healing at Deliverance Ministry. It's not only do they, you know, cast out demons, like the Great Commission says, you know, that Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruits. They'll be casting out demons. They'll be healing the sick. You know, and that inner healing comes in, and just the warmth of Jesus covers you and just heals all your pain. Just like whenever, you know, when he told his testimony about losing a child, I just couldn't even imagine. My heart just went out for him and all parents that have lost a child. So it's just, what a beautiful ministry that Jesus has set up for. He's laid out what we as believers should be doing is you know, knowing who we are in Christ and knowing our identity, that we are ambassadors as believers, that we need to be, you know, believing in the word and not fall into a spirit of negativity, but maintain in a positive outlook, and just putting our hope in Jesus, putting, you know, cast all our cares, cast all our anxieties, as 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all our anxiety on him, because he'll take them every time. He doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to have anxiety. And the more that you give up to him, the more that you place on the Christ, I mean, you place it on the cross, that your life gets easier. You know, he says that my yoke is light. And, you know, and I've found that to be true. And I wanted to become a minister. I wanted to learn how Everett has developed this. And I know that the Holy Spirit has had a hand on him through all of his ministry. He's put together, you know, it hasn't happened in a snap of a finger. I mean, he's read hundreds of books. He's had the Holy Spirit come in and guide him. And so now there's a template, there's a format that anybody can learn to administer inner healing, that they can cast out demons, that people who come to Deliverance Ministry, if they're truly seeking God, if they're truly seeking Jesus Christ, that they, with the help of a minister, can walk them through. But they're doing it on themselves, because they learn the power of Luke 10:19, and they are saying the command. And the minister is prompting them what to say, but then they learn how to do it themselves, and then they can go and they can keep themselves free. They learn techniques on how to stay out of sin by recognizing it and then not coming into agreeing, and then, you know, other tools and techniques of wording, reading your Bible out loud and praying out loud and memorizing scripture and all these things that really will help you. And, and before I knew it, you know, I've been going every Monday night, and I continue to go to the classes just like I was a beginner every Monday, because I learn from other people's experiences, and I learn just from our time of worship. We, you know, the ministers do a time of prayer and worship, you know, because when we pray and we worship God, that's one of the highest levels of of warfare that we can do against the enemy. It's just praising our God. And then we take communion together. They sound the shofar to declare it holy ground. And we just go in with love, with the agape love of Jesus. And we'll set with people. You know, and I usually set, you know, and Everett, as he's picking the ministers to set with the people that have come, he's praying, he's asking the Holy Spirit to say which minister needs to set with which person. And God is so faithful, because God puts people to sit with me and allows me to minister to them, and they, every time, they've had something that I had a problem with before. You know, they bring in men that, you know, were, that didn't feel loved, that they were rejected, that they, you know, they just had all this hurt and anger and bitterness. And through my own experience and through asking the Holy Spirit to come in, I'm able to minister to them. You know, I also recently have started ministering to children that came, that have come in. I've sat with a 12-year-old boy who was, you know, he was unfortunately introduced into pornography, watching pornography at an early age, and, you know, just sitting with him and talking about the love of Jesus, and he was healed from that. You know, and I've sat with a man who had so much feeling of being unloved and just a root of just needing to feel love that it actually developed into OCD. And he was able to be freed from obsessive compulsive disorder. And, you know, we get to see all these healings because the love of Jesus comes in, and by using the techniques and the scriptures that have been laid out for us, we get to see people healed. And it's as Everett likes to say, it's a life of adventure, and it's such a beautiful process, just seeing how the blood of Jesus can come in and cover somebody and just allow them pure healing. And almost every person that we sit with always says they feel lighter when they leave. And you know,
that's a term.
Everett, do you have anything?
That's a term we hear a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
We hear them saying, I feel lighter quite a bit, don't we, Chris?
Yes, we do. I mean, that is, you know that you've had an effective ministry if the first words out of their mouth are, woohoo, I feel lighter. And,
well,
you know, and then
it's almost,
you know,
every person that says that. It's almost every person that seems to say that, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, and after we sit with them and we minister to them, you know, we also, we put a seal on them. We put a seal of the Holy Spirit over them. We ask that the Holy Spirit would just come in and fill all the voids in their body and just heal every cell of their body, just to heal their DNA. Then we go in and we do a limb check and a body check to make sure all their nerves, all their bones, their spine, their cervical, their hips, their legs. It, you know, often we find that someone's got a shorter leg than another, you know, or an arm that's out of alignment is longer than the other. And you know, we'll just ask Holy Spirit to come in and just heal them, the pain go, and alignment to occur, and it just happens right in front of your eyes. And it's so amazing to see the supernatural works of Jesus. And you know, I just wish more people, more believers would kind of step into you know, the anointing that they have, and it's really given to them. They just have to ask for it and just seek God. You know, he just says, seek me and you'll find. And I just really enjoy being a minister there, and it's led to me being able to minister to other people, to friends. I have friends that ask me to sit with their children, or they've asked me to sit with someone in their family, or you know, or a friend, you know. And it's just the more that I seek God, the more that I want. Just every morning I wake up and I say, God, here I am, use me. And, you know, and I've started doing street ministry and just going out and ministering to either homeless or, you know, people going in and out of stores and just asking, hey, would you mind if I prayed for you? Is it, do you have any need? Would you like to be prayed for? And you would be surprised how many people say, yes, please pray for me. I've got this issue going on. I've got this issue. And it leads into an opportunity to, you know, if they were saved, born again a long time ago, and they have not been walking with the Lord, it's an opportunity to plant a seed for them to come back. There's often times where, you know, they haven't had an opportunity to know the Lord, and you get to tell them the good news. And oftentimes we get to do healing right there in the street, and people are, their backs are healed, and their hips are, you know, they had sore hips and it just leaves them. They have a migraine headache and it leaves instantly. And, you know, it's just all glory to God. And it's all doing the supernatural work of Jesus.
Amen. They're all signs and wonders. And once you've tasted of that, that was my case. I had to see more of it. There's no way I could have gone back to, as I often say, the coffee and donuts. I wanted to see the action of the Holy Spirit. Well, Chris, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Amen.
You've been a blessing,
thank
brother.
You.
Yeah,
thank you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
God bless you, and I'll see you at the ministry.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
Again, for those out there, if you can't make it to Oklahoma City, you can always go to the website, deliveranceusa.com, and everything's available there. Of course, obviously, you're always welcome to Oklahoma City, but we understand it's not always in people's ability to do so. So we do thank you for joining us this evening. Have a blessed day, and we will see everybody next week. Goodbye.
Blessings to everyone.
Chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to travel.